10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch with Steve the Homer True in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Some questions in the YouTube comments. What are you doing when your head is down? Are you reading? Are you nodding off? What's going on over there?
You mean me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
I never look at the camera. I don't understand the point of looking at the camera. I'm looking at things on the internet, maybe information about the receiver picked up. I'm also working on a plan for a new bracket contest for the NCAA tournament as a result of being involved in one last night where I feel that some people get screwed. And so, my head is down all the time. People think I'm rude to the partners I'm on. People have said that, and that's fine. They don't know what the hell's going on.
What's your idea you're coming up with?
Yeah.
That's intriguing.
All right, okay, this is
Jesse's
a great idea.
Jesse's got to look for this Goody audio, but he's going to be listening because I'm intrigued,
I'm more interested in
this,
honestly.
You clearly don't listen to what I've said. My position on Goody about that comment has been the same from the very beginning. You can check the tapes. I've stated from the beginning it had nothing
Homer,
to do with him acquiring what?
Not everyone listens to the show
that's
every day.
That no one
and
listens to my show. That's an excellent point. I apologize to the Wildy and Tausch. This show should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right after Mark Belling.
Correct. But anyway, so where were we at now? Which are we going to? Me looking at you? People should know we're not in the same building, so I'm not looking at you. They guess they think
I'm
we might be all in the same
I'm not looking at you either.
Building.
I have an iPad in front of me, and I look straight ahead when I talk into the microphone. That leads people to be able to see my face as opposed to you with your, I'm sure you got it for free, camouflage hat.
I tried this approach because it was in the table where I entered the studio. I thought, I'll just grab that and wear that. I don't know how it goes, but when you have no hair, I think you should wear a hat. I'm leaning in that direction.
Yeah, Matt Carney feels the same way. All right, yep. So what is this new NCAA tournament?
All right, it's a great concept.
Idea.
You have 16 people involved, and they each put in $100. And then you draw randomly which position you get to select, 1 through 16. All right?
Okay.
And then you each get 4 picks. The issue is the money only starts if your team gets it to the Elite Eight. And my point was, well, then that means if you pull out number 9 through 16, you kind of get screwed because the best you can get is the 9th best team, and you don't get any money if they don't make the Elite Eight. And the majority of teams that make the Elite Eight are teams that are probably the first 8 selected. So I said, we got to even this out. It's not fair. It couldn't come up with a way. But I have now discovered a way that works. And that is that there's a certain amount. For example, each team that makes the Elite Eight gets $100. So if you have a team that makes the Elite Eight, you get $100. No, we will add up all the seeding so that if you're a 15th seed, you're going to get more money for getting that team in the Elite Eight. It's really brilliant. So I stole it from somebody else who was there last night. I had to check the numbers. For example, in last year's tournament under the new setup, let me see which one I have here. UConn won the tournament, but they only win $350. Purdue loses in the championship game. They get $150 because they were both 1 seeds. NC State, on the other hand, an 11th seed that makes the Final Four,
correct,
gets $530.
It's just going to be my question.
And Alabama was a 4 seed, and they make $196. So now, when you are picking first, you might not necessarily take a 1 seed if you don't think they're going to win it, because you're going to make more money with a 2 seed or a 3 seed if they make some advances. It solves, so I can go on to thing I do while I'm doing the show.
So where does the Jesse, you have a question first. Go ahead.
I like the idea of this.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do it like, instead of taking all the same number seeds, can you do like a draft where everybody...
No, there's a number of other ways to do it.
Yeah.
To do it. This is just very simple. It's $100. You just, everybody picks, you know, you take the order and you just pick. So, yeah, there are a number of other ways to do better bracket things. I just wanted to keep it the way they've set it up. Make it, it's very simple. It's very fast. You can do it in, last night we probably did it in 20 minutes.
So, I'm confused. Where does the skill come in for this? Or where does the knowledge come in for this? Where does it stop being luck and start being
No, it's acumen? It's luck, but at the top, okay, you have the first pick this year. Who are you going to take? Florida, whatever.
So Tennessee.
So if you drew the number one out of the ping pong balls, so you get the first pick. Then whoever got number two, but out of the ping pong balls, you get 16. It sucks. I mean, what are your chances of you getting one of a team in the Elite Eight when the first team you're going to take is the 16th best team?
So last year's Final Four, 2-1 seeds, a 4
an
seed,
11,
and an 11 and, seed.
Correct, yes. And of all the teams picked, you would have been best and it would have won the most money if you picked NC State. And as an 11 seed, that was probably, who knows how many, it was probably the 30th pick or something like that. So... And UConn, you know, if you win it, you're going to still do pretty well. UConn, you put in 100, you get 350. But Purdue loses in the national championship game, and they're a number one seed. You only won $50. Why? Because they were a one seed. Mm. Alabama's a four seed. They don't even make the championship game. You still got you still get 200, 196. So it's a nice.
So that 2023 Final Four, when it was UConn, San Diego State, Miami, and Florida Atlantic, a 4,
yes,
a 5,
right, excellent.
A 5, and a 9.
Yes. All right, I got that. All right, UConn won, and they were a 4. So they have $430. Florida Atlantic was a 9. They won $315. I mean, it was amazing. San Diego State, a number 5, $285, and Miami of Florida, a 5, $175. For example, number 2, second seed Texas made the Elite Eight. You lost $60. Number 3, Kansas State was a 3 seed, made the Elite Eight. You lost $40. Gonzaga, 3 seed, you lost Texas. So the premise is you had so many surprising teams that taking a 1 seed or a 2 seed, you didn't win any money. And that's to me, that makes it much more interesting. And I don't know, since we haven't done it, we won't till next year if they actually agree with me, which is limited. As to if it will change people. Like, if I think a number 2 is as good as the one that's left, I'm going to take a number 2 or a number 3. I got a chance to win more money. It's worth the risk. And that makes, to me, it more interesting.
And if it's 2018 when Loyola of Chicago went to the Final Four, or 21 when UCLA did, or last year when NC State did.
How about St. Peter's? St. Peter's, when they went as a 15 seed to the Elite Eight, mm-hmm. You won $150, and they didn't get past the Elite Eight. Number 8, North Carolina, was runner-up. Oh, baby! Win $500. Kansas won the national title, and they were a one seed. You only won $170. Kansas is a one seed, won you $170. North Carolina is an 8 seed, losing the championship game, won you $450. And St. Peter's, a 15 seed, only making the Elite Eight, won you $150, which is the way it should be.
You sat down and did all this math? Like, don't you have anything else to do?
While I was doing this show.
Bulaga was talking, yeah.
Bulaga and everyone, you were talking.
So you're down there, you're doing arithmetic while we're doing the show. Good to know.
Yes.
You asked him what he was doing with his head down. That's what led to all this.
Hey, I'm glad I got the answer.
All right, and here's the answer I give to people. As to why I also don't tell them where the hell I am. Did anybody say, Homer just seems to be off his game. Does he even know what he's talking about? And no one said that. If the quality of the work, and that's all that matters, is fine, who cares what I'm doing?
Well, I do, for one. And I'm not sure the quality
Mom,
of work was
okay,
that
Mom,
great.
Why? All right, well, then, funny, you never brought it up until right now.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass
you publicly. In fact, if anything,
you
told me to shut up. No, if I was so busy doing something else, wouldn't the first thing you know that I wasn't listening or wasn't aware of what was being said? Of course not. You complained, as everyone does, that I interrupt too much and don't shut up.
I didn't.
Clearly, that shouldn't be a problem if you're spending all your time doing this other stuff.
Jesse, how many tickets you want to give away to Thanalysis Live presented by Grubel Offices today?
Let's give away two tickets at a time, and let's do it twice
today. All right.
Yeah.
So Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live is back, and right this very moment is your chance to win a pair of tickets, courtesy of McDonald's, where Homer has in his app, his name is Giannis.
I ate there this morning, by the way. Got a free hash brown. I'd like to thank McDonald's. Free hash brown from their app.
I knew you'd be listening when I mentioned McDonald's. Caller number 7 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Right now wins two tickets to Thanalysis Live on March 29th at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Two tickets courtesy of McDonald's. Caller 7 right now, 844-770-3776. And, hey, maybe you're not going to win. Maybe you're not going to be caller 7. Well, you can still join Thanasis for that live show, which will entertain fans like none other. Last year, not only was Thanasis there, but Giannis was there and a surprise appearance from Stephen A. Smith.
Got to get Barkley this year. Got to get Barkley.
You never know what Thanasis has planned. So, and if you don't win the tickets now here on Wilde and Tausch, you can still get your tickets to Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live. Right now, all you got to do is go to the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison social media channels, find out event information and ticket information. Excitement and entertainment you can't get anywhere else. It's Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, carbless, and supported by the Prisoner Wine Company and McDonald's. More Homer and Wilde on Wilde and Tausch next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Steve the Homer True, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Jesse, let's play that clip again. Because I know we played it a lot in January after I asked the question at the end of Goody's Q&A session with us. But this is the quote of the offseason to this point. And I'm curious how we view what Goody has done in relation to what he said about his players when it comes to urgency. Here's Brian Gutekunst on January 16th.
Spent a lot of time today talking about a lot of really good things, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of growth and a lot of really good players you have on your team. You talked a little bit about inconsistency, but I mean, the bottom line is you did finish 11-6 and you didn't get to where you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. So as you go into 2025, like, what is your challenge? Like, what is your, like, hey, this is title town. This is about championships. We didn't get to work. Disappointed you about this year that you need to be better about?
Yeah, you always have some disappointments in the year. I think for me, the thing that's been on my mind, I think, as we've concluded this season, is we need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency. You know, these opportunities don't come. You know, the life of a player in the National Football League is not very long. We got a bunch of good guys in that locker room. We got a bunch of talented guys in that locker room, and yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships, right? And I think they're ready. I think they're, like I said, I think they are wired right. I think that group is the kind of guys that can do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go do it, you know? And we fell short in some areas this year that, like they always are every year, a little frustrating. But at the same time, you know, I didn't think they blinked, you know? And so I'm excited about the group. But the sense of urgency, not getting complacent. You know, some of these guys have now proven themselves to be NFL football players and have attained that. But, like, you know, what's out there for us as a team that we're willing to commit to and sacrifice for? And you know, so that's kind of the – if I'm looking at one thing, that'd be it.
Homer, when you listen to that, and you know, he even uses the word complacent at the end there. He is clearly challenging his young players. But what has he done – in your estimation, this offseason that matches the challenge he issued to his team?
Nothing, but he didn't say that he would. If you go back and listen, I listened more closely this time, that after he made that reference, he talked about all the current players. This had nothing to do with him doing anything. This was all 99, not 100%, about what he's saying to the players on the team and what they must do. He says, I'm excited about the group. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean anything about the new players, the group that are here. But they must, as what's the phrase you've used many times, they must understand the sense of urgency, or however he put it. It had absolutely nothing to do with anything other than his comment to the current players and what they must do next season for the team to have a chance to be good.
Right.
There's no reference or inference.
My point, though, and that's the question I'm
getting at. Yeah, he didn't have to do anything. He thinks the team is good enough as it is now. Doesn't need to make major changes.
So if you challenge your players to ramp up your sense of urgency,
correct.
You, as the general manager, do not also have to ramp up your sense of urgency and be more aggressive because you think you have what you need already. Is that your position?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, I've done my job. Now it's up to them. That simple.
I don't know if I ever like somebody who says, I've done my job, now it's your turn to do yours.
Well, I mean, let's look at the players that he added. Let's look at the young players, some that were drafted. He's certainly done a better job. The Goody over the last 2 years is, what, 1,000% better than the earlier Goody? He added two players that he shouldn't have been able to get. The teams were stupid to make them available. Mm-hmm. And he drafted how much better? Both Williams and Cooper. Williams and Cooper might be the two most important players in terms of the possibility of them escalating their play for next year. So, yes, Goody, he's not going to say that. I sucked a few years ago. I've been doing a hell of a good job. Now it's time for these players who have shown that they're good, quarterback as well, they got to play to the level that I believe they're at. I don't got to do anything. We're ready. Let's go. He, of course, didn't say that exactly that way to you, Jason. But
I don't have to do
anything.
That would have gone over well.
Jesse, no, I got it. And then I hope to have a draft this year as good as the draft last year's. People should look. I should just be Goody. People should look at how many changes were necessary by Philadelphia in the last year in terms of draft and acquisitions for them to be good enough to escalate up to a Super Bowl win. And, you know, we may need to do the same, but that doesn't mean we have to. That just is that's what my expectations are, that I will draft as well as I've done in recent years, and that'll make the team better too. Any other questions, Jason?
Yeah, for Jesse. Jesse, are you in Homer's club then, that the general manager issuing this type of an edict about ramping up urgency and competing for championships and not being complacent does not then also apply to him when he issues that challenge to his players?
I actually am in Homer's club.
Good.
Yeah, I like it. Like it. When you are in a position where you need to be level-headed and not emotional, like, it's up to Matt LaFleur to drive home the emotion and the sense of urgency with all the players. It's up to the players and the leaders in the locker room to drive home that emotion and that sense of urgency. I want Goody to be flat, not emotional. I want him to make the best business decisions to keep the Green Bay Packers competitive and in the mix to win a Super Bowl every single year. And if that means that he can say that he, like, you know, the trickle down to Matt LaFleur and to the players in the locker room right now is urgency, you know, step it up, like, no job is safe. It's up to him not to necessarily go out and just, you know, sell the farm to make sure 1 year has all the pieces in place to go and win a title. It's up to him to still maintain the success long term. Like, it's a different role than the head coach or the leaders in the locker room.
Somewhere in between sell the farm and go all in for 2025 and adding a $77 million guard and a corner, I think is where I would argue he could land. And that's why I go back to the Adams thing. We just got done largely dismissing, some saying that signing a 47-year-old Donald Driver would have the same impact as signing Mecole Hardman. There isn't a level of urgency that says, hey, we think we've got a team that can compete for a championship that needs some pieces. I don't know if a guard and Nate Hobbs are those pieces.
No, again, Jason, you're right. The piece you object to that he hasn't addressed is wide receiver because of the injuries that you mentioned. This is separate from all. There's no big picture of all the team. This is one particular area with, given the problems last year, throwing the ball, nobody being open. I think you're 1,000% correct. I don't forget all the other stuff. I don't know what his answer is to that.
Yeah.
For all you've stated, Watson is hurt. Now, it tells me that they're not worried about the concussions. That's what.
Yeah,
that's my first thought.
I would agree. Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, it was the same way with Jordy Nelson. I'll never understand how they didn't overpay for Davante Adams. To call up his people and say, if he doesn't want to come here, fine. We'll overpay everyone. We want him on this team now. That's what you would have done. That's what I would have done. It's just costing you money, but you know, it may be that he didn't want to come here, but Goody clearly didn't take that approach. And all the other stuff he's done, I think he's justified in terms of the guys he's drafted and what he's done with the team. Now, is it good enough to win the Super Bowl? I'm not sure I'm sold on that, but
right,
know, that's
my point. That you just crystallized my point.
But that's
again,
him.
I'm not saying you go crazy and spend way beyond your means with the salary cap to go all in for this year to show that you as the GM are being ramping up your urgency. What I am saying is that if you look at what they've done this year, there's not a whole lot of, clearly he believes that, I get it, he thinks he's got some really good players on this team. I agree with him on that point. They have not shown that they have been any better than a 7 seed and a team that won a playoff game in Dallas, but last year finished losing, and Goody has pointed this out repeatedly, lost their last 3 games. That is not how you want to go into your offseason feeling about your team. And I commend him for not going crazy and just going out there and trading for DK Metcalf and trading for Trey Hendrickson and doing a bunch of things that are out of character. But doing a little bit more than what you traditionally do, I don't think that is unrealistic or a big ask. And I would also say that those types of maneuvers would indicate that he feels I need to help these guys ramp up their urgency by giving them some more pieces to work with. And he did not do that. And I
will also
argue.
Well, they did do that as far as they're going to run the ball. I think they focus on running the ball more.
Right. It's the defensive line as well. I think those are the two glaring areas where they needed to add. And right now, they've added a guy you compared to Cousin Subs pitchman, Donald Driver, and no one on the defensive line. Like maybe, you know, Gilbert Brown, who's done some pitchman work previously, you could say whoever they pick up next is like adding Gilbert Brown, who's almost 50 years old.
Well, no, it will not unless the guy has 2 tackles in the last 2 years. Then I will compare him to Gilbert Brown. How do you describe, and as I've asked you this, and you can look it up, how do you describe a receiver that has 214 yards receiving in the last 2 seasons? How many tackles would a defensive lineman have to have? 10?
And no sacks because he's got no touchdowns other than in the Super Bowl to win the game. All right. Here's another thing that is percolating this morning. The official proposal to ban the tush push has been filed with the competition committee. And don't you just know, it's the Green Bay Packers with the formal proposal to ban the tush push. We will read it to you verbatim from the league because you know that I love reading on the radio. Why are the Packers doing this? Why is
you know
them?
The answer to that.
Yes, I do. I'll explain.
We
got to
get the Chippewa Falls.
It's Wilde and Tausch. On air.
Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You pick more or less on at least 2 players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks, and springtime is here and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match player projections from different sports. You can combine your favorite baseball players with players from basketball and hockey and esports and much more. The second half of the basketball season is here, and the push to the playoffs is heating up on Prize Picks, the best place to cash in on your favorite sports. Download the app today and use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now. Throw my heart on the ground. Cause tonight ain't the night for sorrow.
The Green Bay Packers have proposed banning the tush push. Now, what is interesting, there were conflicting reports when this first came to light about this rule that may or may not exist about helping a runner. I saw a few people say that it had been stricken from the record. That apparently is not the case. It just isn't enforced anymore, which you know how the NFL can selectively enforce things. Article 4. Assisting the runner and interlocking interference, which I have no idea what that means. No offensive player may, and again, this is what's on the books right now, Homer. No offensive player may pull a runner in any direction at any time, use interlocking interference by grasping a teammate or by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of a teammate in an effort to block an opponent, push or throw his body against a teammate to aid in attempting to obstruct an opponent or to recover a loose ball. Now, here is what the Packers are adding. Or, immediately at the snap, push or throw his body against a teammate who was lined up directly behind the snapper and received the snap to aid him in an attempt to gain yardage. The penalty for assisting the runner, interlocking interference, or illegal use of hands, arms, or body by the offense would be a loss of 10 yards. We all know why the Packers are doing this. Mark Murphy is the official trial balloon tester of Commissioner Roger Goodell.
I would join that club.
There are plenty of teams not named the Philadelphia Eagles who think that this play needs to be banned. Murphy himself has been an outspoken critic of it, even though, while the Packers did get beat by it twice in the playoff game, they actually stopped it a couple years ago. Homer, why are the Packers, other than to placate the commissioner, why are they the ones at the forefront of this, lack of a better term, controversy?
Is
the juice worth the squeeze to do this?
Yeah, that's what you just said. This has nothing to do with the rule as much as it has to do with Mark Murphy's role for the NFL. That's it.
Will it result in the rule being changed?
Of course not. But it will create a discussion.
Do I want the rule changed?
Yes, it's a horrible rule. It shouldn't exist for any runner. You can't help the runner. That's what it was. That's the benefit of being old. I've watched football. And the key that they've, and I saw what Gene, whatever, explained where they dropped it. But the rule, it says interlocking and circle, and the players aren't doing that. So I think you can look at the rule as it stands. It doesn't really allow you to do that. They changed enforcing it. But that aside, is it going to change? No. Fans don't seem to be bothered by it. And right now it's, well, figure out a way to stop it. But they want a discussion. There's enough of an interest in stopping it. And so this creates that, and then they'll vote, and the rule will stay the same. You'll have the push, so it'll be up to teams to figure out a way to stop it. The way they want it to end is by teams figuring out a way to stop it. And it would help if you had a better way to determine how far the ball went. If this would produce putting some sort of marker on the ball so that you don't have the officials – determining where it goes to, but you, like in tennis, you do it with technology, That would be more important to, than any of this stuff they're talking about.
All right, wait a minute. Couple of questions now, since you're my go-to tennis guy. And Sydney is actually going to play tennis this spring. We've been hitting balls, and I might be a better tennis player than I thought I was, too, but we'll get into
that
later.
Sure you are. You're a better athlete in everything.
First of all,
yes,
the microchip or whatever is in the ball. I believe Troy Vincent, who was recently in Madison for an event, has said that they are going to begin using that more extensively. Mm-hmm. So that is interesting.
And way more important than this chit-chat we're going
through. I think it's interesting that you tied the two together, though. I like that, because that's a good point. And maybe it'll be less effective if it is being, if the ball is being marked based on where the microchip is.
It will be. It will be.
The second part of this, though, that I have been intrigued by is that you can do this without the aiding of the runner. And the Packers, who, again, are the ones proposing the change, have their version. It is the Tucker Kraft tight end sneak. Bigger, burlier guy moving under center, getting the snap, and then getting the first down for them. He was 6 for 6 this year, and he did it without Jordan Love, who moves into the backfield, and, say, Josh Jacobs or whoever might be the running back in that situation. He does it without either of them pushing him. The offensive linemen go low and get the leverage part of it, but it's Tucker Kraft on his own. And so the Packers have basically delivered an alternative, whether they were doing it on purpose or not, to the tush push, which is just don't have your quarterback get assisted in doing this. And if you need to have a bigger guy do it because we don't want to get our quarterback hurt doing it, motion him into the backfield and have him take the snap. So, as someone, Tausch, usually when he's here, he always wants things to be improved, even things that don't need to be improved. The Packers have brought up an alternative with the way they've handled short yardage situations. And so by them giving the proposal, they can also say, look, here's what we do, and we don't have to break the rules to do it. So I do think this is, I think it's interesting, but to Homer's point, if they're going to use the microchip, that does also factor into this. Now, speaking of the tennis graphics, thanks for looking up. I'm curious, why do those look like 1980s computer graphics, though, when they show the ball hitting inbounds or out of bounds on the broadcasts?
Don't know, don't care.
Okay.
I mean, it shows that it was out. When they only do that for the benefit of the fan. They don't need to do it. I don't entirely know why they do. I think they want to prevent people from thinking they're wrong. There's no need to show it. It's decided.
So is it
it's
connected
out.
to the system that reads
sure.
It?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I assume so. I don't know that for sure, but I'm not entirely sure why they do it. I think at some point they'll stop. I think they maybe want to emphasize how close
like
it was.
What more do you want from it? It's just a ball that's in or out on the line. Do you want like a reenactment like they do on those old like History
Channel
things?
Well, that's kind of what it is. It looks like a reenactment with like Handy Manny level cartoons. That's all. It doesn't seem
I would agree.
It fits the level of technology that they use. That's all?
Yes. It's just a ball.
It looks more like a video game. What was the original video game?
Right, like Atari or
like
television.
Yes. Yes. It's like they are using Atari to show you the picture.
Which would make me think they aren't spending
any money to make it better because it serves its purpose.
Yes.
Who other than you is out here that's like, we need more better graphics for the tennis replays?
All right, here's the other question. Who out here is watching enough tennis to even make that complaint? It's part of the problem with tennis in this country. Not enough interest.
But I'm interested, and now I'm even more interested now. Have you ever seen this documentary on McEnroe, by the way? I'm watching this now. It's on,
I don't
like,
have
Showtime.
To see it. I lived it. I know everything there is to know about
you're
John
not
McEnroe.
In it yet, from what I've watched. That your interaction with him did not make it must end
no,
up.
No, but
the
my brother
floor.
Played him when they were 18 3 or 4 times one summer. I was in tennis and observed his craziness. a person who taught at the racquet club where I worked in South Bend, Indiana. He was a student at Notre Dame, claimed that he was the first student, or excuse me, the first teacher ever for John McEnroe when he was 7 or 8 at the club in Port Washington. I don't know where it is, in New York somewhere. So there's nothing. You know, the curiosity I have is how much steroids or performance-enhancing drugs he took to help him with his injuries. I think he stated he did, but was there anything in there about that?
I'm only halfway through it.
It's tragic, and he would admit it, that he should have won way more than he did. He dominated for a couple of years, had one of the greatest years ever, but just simply didn't take care of himself well enough to win the number of majors that he should have.
Yes.
But he was an epic jerk.
Yeah, that much is clear. And I can see why people liked Vitas Gerulaitis more than they liked him as a person.
But I will say this. He was also the one who corrected the problem at Wimbledon, because they had old people as line judges that were blind. And he was the first one. They weren't technically blind, but they were horrific, and he challenged it, and they changed and got better people.
And then they got the Intellivision Atari graphics to show you where the ball is. We will get back to the Packers. That's been Tausch's Tennis Minute with Uncle Homer. Want to remind you that spring is here, even though it might not feel that way today since it's apparently going to snow. And it's time to refresh your home. During Steinhoffel's Get Ready for Spring Sale, you'll find all the latest looks and trends to transform your space. Need design help? Steinhoffel's design packages are on sale, and their designers are by your side every step of the way. Plus, if you buy a premium mattress, you'll get free premier delivery on everything as well. It's the Get Ready for Spring Sale, only at Steinhoffel's and steinhoffels.com. We'll go to the Carbless Talk and Text line for a call and some texts next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
NBA Wednesday on ESPN Radio. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets head to Los Angeles to face Luka Doncic and the Los Angeles Lakers. Coverage begins tonight at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by Indeed.
As our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better.
I have a question for you. I need you to do a story for one of the various venues that the Jason Wilde Enterprises work.
He really is filling in for Tausch.
I do requests. Channel3000.com. What do you got?
There seems to be a lack of appreciation in terms of the greatness of Jordan Love's play last year, especially if you believe in the ESPN QBR. According to QBR,
sure I do.
Well, then that needs to be researched, as to no one should look at it anymore. Do you realize, according to QBR, where do you think Jordan Love ranked among all NFL quarterbacks last season?
10th.
Fifth. He was the fifth best quarterback in the NFL last season. And why do people underestimate, like the year before, he was ninth. He improved from ninth to fifth in ranking among quarterbacks in the NFL. And
wow.
Unless someone explains the absurdity of QBR, Jordan Love has been underappreciated more than any other player in the NFL for his performance last season. And I believe you, Jason Wilde, as a three-time Sports Writer of the Year, are as guilty of that as anyone. Have you in any way referenced him as one of the elite quarterbacks? Not confrontational. You just have won more awards. I am guilty equally as bad as you. But I don't have three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. I've never won anything like that.
That's true. Sports writer in the Hall of Fame.
All right. So I would like you, because your credibility to me is above everyone else's, either show that the QBR is so stupid it must be eliminated. For example, in the late season game, the Packers against Minnesota, he had a higher quarterback rating than Darnold, who was like, threw for what, 500 yards or anything. But that's the set. If not, if the QBR is legit, then everybody, other than maybe his family, owes an apology to Jordan Love for the quality of his play last year. Take it away.
So I like my job. I'd like to keep my job. So I'm not going to be as intense of a critic as I perhaps could be. I don't love invented statistics. And this is something that ESPN Analytics came up with, I don't know how many years ago it was now. And while I would acknowledge that Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen being number one and number two, and also being number one and number two in the MVP balloting.
And Joe Burrow number three, Jaden Daniels number four, and Jordan Love number five.
Followed by Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. The next five, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Tua Tagovailoa. My issue with this is that I don't think that human athletic achievement can be simply distilled down to analytics. If you were, even though I love the movie Moneyball.
By the way, he was 12th in the old-fashioned quarterback rating.
Yeah, and look, that is a flawed metric too, right? It far values not throwing interceptions, throwing more touchdown passes, and completion percentage. And if you look, if you did this QBR stuff with, I'd be curious, have they done this with other all-time great quarterbacks? Have they done Brett Favre's career? Have they done Dan Marino's career? Have they done Montana's career? Aikman, Steve Young. Because I'd be curious, that's where the traditional quarterback rating number, there was a different game then, right? Like, the interceptions are way down for everyone. Brett Favre led the NFL in interceptions in 2005 with 29. I think the leader this year threw like 15 or 16. Like, the game has changed. There are more easy completions, so completion rates are up. All those things factor in.
QBR started, I believe, in 2006. That's the first time they mentioned it for Favre. I would like to let people know on Pro Football Reference, they have a great stat known as Quarterback Rating Plus, which does a great job.
Is this like OPS Plus? I know you love that stat.
Yes, 100 is average. So they factor in, as you have so nicely done and mentioned, that where it fits, understanding the game was different then. And I think that's fantastic. And so people can get a better appreciation of, like you said, how did you compare with the other great ones during that time, not how you compare against current.
So I guess my
and Brett Favre's 129 in his second to last season with Minnesota is better than every season he played other than his first MVP in 1995, which makes sense because he threw so many touchdown passes and so few interceptions in that year. People don't remember that.
Yeah, he was undeniably magnificent. I got no issue with that. But passer rating and QBR are both.
They are agreed, right? But it's a question of you're comparing everybody to the same, and so if it's flawed that you have the same standards for all of them. So in that area, They thought that QB quarterback rating, they had some problem, and so they thought they came up with something better.
Yeah, and hey, we always want things that are better, right? But
yes,
I think if you had the eye test, which I understand is not analytical, it is more subjective.
That would be good though, rating QBR and eye test. I'd like that.
No one on this panel or anywhere else is going to say that Jordan Love sucked last year. I don't think that would be anything close to accurate. Do I think he was the fifth best quarterback in football last year? I do not. Do I think his injury issues factored into that? I do. Do I also think his inaccuracy has to improve like it did during the second half of 2023 for them to be as good as they think they're capable of being. I also think that, like, again, I just don't love the, you know, again, I mentioned Moneyball. There's like the anti-Moneyball movie with Clint Eastwood, Trouble with the Curve, where then it's all about scouting players and hearing the sound of the ball hitting the catcher's mitt. That's, you know, you recognize the sound. I think Amy Adams plays his daughter.
Very good movie, by the way. I think it is. It has nothing to do with baseball. It's a good
Timberlake
movie.
Timberlake is fantastic, yes. My point is that somewhere in between making it all about numbers and making it not about numbers at all is a fair place to land. And I thought Jordan Love had a decent slash pretty good season last year.
I do have one other question for you about last season.
Yes, I'd love to answer it instead of getting to the call.
All right. Would you, or do you want to get to the call?
No, it's 11:06. Keith is going to have to wait longer, or he can hang up.
A person, a friend of mine, who's very good at judging things and making sure you can't say stuff, and he said, you know, Jordan Love is horrible at long passes. He just doesn't complete them, and so many of their yardages on long passes are the result of pass interference. And I said, it seems to me he's done it, and then I really couldn't find that many. What's the assessment of Jordan Love on long passes? Is it a weakness?
His accuracy.
And this is an eye test question.
It is. I think, first of all, we have to start with the reality that long passes are inherently far more difficult to complete for everyone, right? Whether you're Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Jordan Love or Brian Brohm.
Never studied it that well, but I'll accept your premise.
It is hard for me to look at some of the risky... The throw he makes in L.A., the blanket reads down there somewhere completion with three defenders there. Is that a great throw, or is that good fortune that none of them intercepted that ball? Probably a little of both, right? I think if I'm concerned about his accuracy, I don't think his deep ball accuracy is abhorrent, or whatever the word your friend used, terrible. I'm more concerned about his in-rhythm accuracy on shorter throws where it has to be put in a location that allows the player the best chance of then turning it into a bigger gain by hitting him in stride or... You know, there were definitely, he was a victim of 30 drops, more than any other quarterback in the league. But as Jordan would admit himself, which is one of the things I really like about him, there were some throws where if he puts it where he's supposed to instead of where he does, it's not a drop because it's an easier ball to catch. So, again, I think this is more art than science, and I think he still has plenty of potential to become a top five quarterback, but I don't care what the QBR said about last year. He wasn't a top five quarterback. And if you want to say it was because of his injuries, we're going to chalk it up to that, fine. All I know is that 2025 is a pivotal year for him. A hugely pivotal year. Aaron Rodgers went to the Super Bowl in his third year as the starter. I'm not saying that has to be the bar, but his game needs to elevate. And Jordan would be the first one to say that. So I don't think I'm speaking out of school. All right, we will get to the 11 o'clock hour.
I have an apology to is it McColl? Is that how you say his first name?
I think so.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I got an apology. I wish to thank somebody for making me look it up.
Okay.
Do I need to do it now or later?
No, we'll start the 11 o'clock hour with a Homer apology.
Poor Keith.
I don't even know how many times. Yeah, look, Keith, this is how it works. I'm sorry. You're familiar with this show.
I will wait for Keith. Keith can go before my apology. I'm not good at apologies because I do it so seldom.
I know that.
So we
need some time to warm up to it.
Yes.
Okay. We'll get to Keith. We'll get to Homer's apology after we kick off the 11 o'clock hour, and we won't do that until we hear from Tausch about AmFam. You'll hear that, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, Packer fans, dreaming of the ultimate draft day experience? Well, the American Family Insurance Dream Draft Sweepstakes is your chance to win a VIP trip to the NFL Draft in Green Bay. Imagine this. You and a guest could score exclusive tickets, hotel accommodations, custom merchandise, and more. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you don't want to miss. Head over to AmFam.com/Packers and enter today. That's AmFam.com/Packers. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the state of Wisconsin, 21 years of age or older. Enter by 11:59 Central Time on March 24th. See official rules at AmFam.com/Packers.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.